This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Seven Wonders in 70 Minutes, a podcast series based on the book Wonderlust, written by Julie Woods, that's me, illustrated by Ron Esplin, that's you. In these 7 10-minute episodes, we are going to visit the seven wonders of the world through the paintbrush of Ron Esplin and the sensory diaries of that blind woman, Julie Woods. This is episode 6, and wonder 6 is Machu Picchu in Peru. Hola, Ron.
Hola.
Would you like to describe to the listeners, please, the painting you did of Machu Picchu?
Yes, well, we're very high up in the Andes in Machu Picchu, and it's a place that I wanted to visit for years and years. My mother and father had been before me, and they said it was one of the most amazing places to go to, and indeed, they were right. But to paint it, that's another story. And in fact, the walls are, you can see how ancient they are, that they've been built without the use of concrete and cement and so on, that is blocks of stone that are intricately placed together in such a way that you can hardly see the join. It's an incredible piece of engineering, and they still wonder at how it ever happened. The mountains that surround the area of Machu Picchu are something that are of great interest when you're painting it. The mountains in the far distance I covered in cloud because I felt, frankly, that we wanted to focus on Machu Picchu itself. At the time we visited, it was full of people, and I have removed all those people and replaced them with llamas. So you have a lovely, peaceful scene of grass surrounded by the citadel that is Machu Picchu.
Every day I am away, I write a sensory diary of one thing I smell, hear, taste, and touch. My sensory diary entry for the day we visited Machu Picchu in Peru, Saturday, the 27th of September, 2014. Smell, cigar smoke. Hear, the sound of our guide Percy, who had been on the mountain every day for 20 years, telling us how the Incas had built Machu Picchu 2,500 meters above sea level in the 15th century. Taste, pisco sour. Touch, the perfectly laid dry stone walls of the Inca citadel. And Ron, I think that's the first time we've ever had a description that was similar, because I too noticed with my fingers those perfectly laid dry stone walls that you talked about you had painted.
And they remain a mystery to many as to how they were placed there, and that is an ongoing thing in many of those places. The amazing, you think about it, it was 8,000 feet above sea level, and you wonder at where did all that stuff come from and how did they get it up to build this wonderful city. And it was a functioning city in the time. They were growing their food and so on. Some say that it was actually a holiday retreat, but you can't know because it was really rescued from the undergrowth of the jungle, which had actually concealed it from view for thousands of years.
And it was rediscovered in 1911 by Hiram Bingham, who found it amongst all this growth. And what an amazing thing to – it's another wonder, isn't it, discovering it?
Yes, yes, it must have been. Imagine the feelings when you do find a place like that, and the extent of it would have been just astonishing.
To get to Machu Picchu, we stayed the night in Ollantaytambo. And that night, my diary entry for my sound was Ron eating guinea pig.
which is pretty easy to hear, I can tell you.
Exactly. It was deep fried guinea pig, I think it was.
Yeah. And snap, crackle, pop.
And the sound also was the toot toot of the train that we caught from Olianti Tambo up to Agus Caliente, which means hot water. And from there we took a bus. So just another reminder that it's getting to the wonder that is as much of a wonder sometimes than the wonder itself.
Indeed, we took a train to get there to Olianti Tambo, and they had a continuous show all the way. I can't remember how long it took, but they had fashion parades, and we had a meal that was extended all the way through. You know, they'd bring out another course for the meal, and in between entertainments, there was a band on board that played Incan music, and it was just a wonderful, joyful trip, wasn't it? Despite the fact that the scenery around it as we went was spectacular.
Well, I think Peru Rail, if anyone hasn't been on it and wants to go on a great train service, I'd have to say it is a wonder of the world in itself. After we visited our sixth wonder of the world that night, we had a pisco sour, which is a Peruvian national drink. Can you remember what it tasted like, Ron?
Well, that's a jolly good question, Julie. I think I'll have to have another one just to remind me.
I'm going to say a spicy rum and coke. That would be my memory.
Well, I'll go with that, but I think we really do need to have another one just to remind ourselves.
I wonder if you can get them, and if you can, we'll have to Google it and make a cocktail to remind us of what they were like. But of course, drink and food and tastes and all those different sensory experiences is how I see the wonders of the world. And for me, that is another one of those. The cigar smoke, you may wonder where that came from. It was an American man smoking a cigar outside the hotel restaurant that we went to. That's where that came from.
I think that was the same guy that was having a bit of an argument with his wife. And when he left her in a sort of a high dudgeon and went outside, and she turned to me and she said, "Don't worry, my husband comes from a long line of short tempers."
Unlike Percy, our guide, who really, it's great to give homage to the guides because they're so humble and informed, and they just know so much about the mountain in this case. And as I said before, Percy had been on that mountain every day for 20 years. So what greater person could you have to show you his wonder than him? It's just astonishing that they dedicate their lives to these places.
Oh, absolutely. And he sure knew his stuff as well. It did rain a bit when we were up there, and we were getting a bit wet. And I remember we had some tourists. Most of them are very, very polite and friendly. But we did hear a voice in the background saying, "Oh, shouldn't be taking blind people up here."
I remember that. I tried to forget that. That wasn't so good, was it?
Not really.
No, but as you say, they are contrasted by the amazing people that you meet. I mean, it was built in the 15th century, so accessibility wasn't really a thing back then. But given that, it was probably surprisingly accessible. And I guess I do take longer than most people to get down or up some stairs. But anyway, that's just the experience that it is sometimes.
Absolutely. And did you feel the llamas at all? They'd be wet,
I don't think I did feel the llamas, but I heard about the llamas.
Yes, they say they spit at you, but they wouldn't spit at you, Julie.
Of course not. Gracias, Ron. You've been listening to Seven Wonders in 70 Minutes with Julie Woods and Ron Esplin. To contact Ron, you can email ronesplinartist@gmail.com or me, Julie, at thatblindwoman.co.nz. This is episode 6 of 7. We look forward to you joining us for the final episode next time, and gracias. I'm that blind woman, Julie Woods, proud sponsor of 7 Wonders in 70 Minutes. The World in 360 Minutes is a sound project containing 36 10-minute episodes taking you across the globe. We started with the first series, Around the World in 80 Minutes, and then 7 Wonders in 70 Minutes. In these podcasts, we explore what we see when we travel, me through my 4 senses and Ron through his paintbrush. You can check me out, That Blind Woman Julie Woods, at thatblindwoman.co.nz or ring me on 021 913 513. Why not?
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.